The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday the 27th of April 2026 and you are on the clock with Aaron. Can you see the plantation through the palm trees? Green. That's what that song reminds me of, right? Like, it's a, saying you're going to be okay. Because sometimes you don't realize that everything around you looks like beaches and cocktails, but it feels like a plantation. But Lowercase Committee is here to tell you today it's going to be okay. And I needed that message for myself as well, right? If I tell you all 5 pages of notes, stories I think that we should talk about, stories in the papers over the last several days and weeks. But then, of course, the headlines never disappoint. We've got tons of headlines to talk about. I guess the first question I have to ask when I see the headline, when I saw the headline this morning, OPM to launch probe, I had to ask myself a question. I think probe into PS is OPM to handle probe into PS wearing political gear. And it prompted me to ask the question, which OPM? Which OPM are we talking about? Are we talking about like the OPM OPM, like the government OPM? Are we talking about like people, like the PLP OPM? Which one? Because in a small island developing state, conflicts of interest are usually unavoidable. But that doesn't mean that you stop trying to avoid them. Is it not problematic that the person who is the director of communications in the OPM's office is the director of communications for the PLP? And is it problematic that members of the PLP legal team are also, like there's some members of the PLP legal team that may also be a part of the government's legal team? Like, these are conflicts that we could avoid. These are conflicts that we could avoid. A few days ago, somebody said to me, like, you are calling for institutions to speak, but the people who are going to speak are PLPs. Like, what's the point? Well, the point is that we have to be able to trust the integrity of our institutions. At the moment that we say, well, they could do whatever they want to do, the whole thing has fallen apart. It has fallen apart. And the question is, why is the OPM going to handle the probe? Like, I'm not specific on the law, I'll be honest with you, because I am not a lawyer. I'm certainly not a labor rights expert. But wouldn't the agency, like, wouldn't labor be responsible for that? Like, you pull it away from OPM, let labor handle it, and the Attorney General's office oversee it? Let's read from the article quickly in today's Tribune. Questions over whether senior public officer breached political neutrality rules have been pushed to the office of the Prime Minister, with Labour and Public Service Minister Pia Glover-Roll saying her ministry does not handle matters involving permanent secretaries. Quote, I think the matter was with a permanent secretary, and permanent secretaries report directly to the Prime Minister, close quote. Don't report to the secretary to the cabinet? I don't know. Like I say, I don't know. Quote, the office of the Prime Minister will, in that regard, handle any communications regarding that matter. But yes, my ministry has put out on several occasions general orders that speak to the participation outwardly frontline public servants in political life or on the political front line. So the matter of that level of public servant is actually handled through the office of the Prime Minister, and I would direct any questions in that regard there, close quotes. Like, I would have appreciated, like, just give us the provision in the general orders or the rules and procedures. Just quote it so we would know what it is. Mr. Seymour, permanent secretary in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, was photographed wearing PLP party paraphernalia on nomination day at a political event on Cat Island linked to the Prime Minister Philip Davis's nomination, raising questions about whether he breached general orders requiring public officers to maintain political impartiality and avoid overt participation in frontline political activity. Scrutiny has intensified because Mr. Seymour signed a 2024 letter warning a foreign affairs officer against engaging in political activities. Communications Director Latre Ramming, who was present at the press conference, did not provide further comment. Secretary to the Cabinet Nicole Campbell declined to address the matter directly, saying, quote, the public service has rules, it has regulations, and those procedures and rules are normally carried out. But in this instance, I don't have any comments, close quotes. Foreign Affairs Minister Fred Mitchell has declined to comment when asked about the issue. Former Public Service Minister Brenzel Rolle took a critical stance, describing Mr. Seymour's actions as a clear breach of general orders and warning that failure to act could undermine public confidence in the neutrality and integrity of the public service. Mr. Seymour, a retiree who was brought back into the public service, owns a total annual package of $221,316, including a base salary of $104,750, a pension of $49,766, and $43,200 rent allowance, a $20,000 responsibility allowance, and a $3,600 distribution allowance. So that's just wild, pun intended. $20,000 responsibility allowance. Let's take that off. Let's like we could just, because is following general orders, is that not a part of your responsibility? Like, you get paid a responsibility allowance because you got to do the hard things. Isn't following the rules like hard and the responsibility? I don't know. I just saying, I don't like to see people get fired unless they're an MP in dereliction of duty. But other than that, you know, maybe we just pull the $20,000 responsibility allowance, because what's it for? What's it for? And if you're being brought back into the service as a PS, I know like they have these rules, like, okay, whatever they got as a PS, then they get the same thing in their contract when they've been brought back in as a PS. But responsibility allowance? $20,000 a year? Okay. You would think that that would be the thing to prompt people to be responsible. I have a story here that I just want to refer to quickly. Mitchell blasts Pintard over invitations for election observers, right? And I'm reading this article. I think it's Nassau Guardian article. It says, amid concerns raised by the FNM about the integrity of the electoral process, Minister of Foreign Affairs Fred Mitchell slammed FNM leader Mitchell Pintard for extending invitations to foreign officials requesting independent observations for the May 12th general election. In a voice note, Mitchell lambasted Pintard, who wrote the letters to the UN and the U.S. ambassador to the Bahamas, Herschel Walker. I'm going to go dot, dot, dot right there. I just want to make a point. If it was in a voice note, it couldn't have been the Minister of Foreign Affairs, because the Minister of Foreign Affairs does not send out voice notes. That's what I know. The chairman of the PLP party sends out voice notes regularly as a part of his representative routine. But Foreign Affairs does not send out voice notes, does not communicate through voice notes. You remember the lovely letter, the statement that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs issued in response to the statement by Herschel Walker, the U.S. ambassador to the Bahamas? That's how the minister and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs communicates, not through voice notes. But you see why it's so important to make clear distinctions of roles, functions, and offices in the country? Because they would have you thinking that the Minister of Foreign Affairs made these statements. But I think really only the chairman is speak through voice note. The Minister of Foreign Affairs sends out properly worded and assessed documents before they publish. They take great care. I often get confused, but not on this, because my Minister of Foreign Affairs does not speak through voice notes. Only the PLP chairman is do that. I mean, in that party. In the party, only the chairman speaks. Like, those are the rules, aren't they? I don't know. I'm not a part of the party, so I wouldn't know. We're going to get back to those articles. Know Your Role was published on Saturday by Eyewitness News, and Mitchell blasts Pintard over invitations for election observers. But before we get there, there was a story on Friday. Campaign identifies rider injured in recent bus crash. Nassau Tribune, 24th of April, 2026. The campaign for Fort Charlotte candidate Sebas Bastian last night identified the motorcyclist injured in a widely circulated collision with its campaign bus, as D'Angelo Adley saying he is in stable condition and improving. Quote, we continue to keep D'Angelo Adley close in our thoughts as he recovers, close quotes, a spokesperson for Mr. Bastian said. Now, I ain't quite too sure about those two sentences, right? Because why would you start the article with the campaign. Okay, good. Once we keep it clear, the campaign identified the motorcyclist injured. His condition is stable and improving, and his outlook remains positive. Doctors are optimistic that he could be discharged from hospital as early as tomorrow, pending a few final tests. Again, this article was posted on Friday, the 24th of April. The Tribune understands police were on the scene and that the motorbike driver was taken to hospital. Despite this and the visibility of the incident, police officials at multiple levels yesterday said they had no record of it and could not account for what happened. Officer in charge of the Royal Bahamas Police Force Traffic Division, Chief Superintendent Sabrina Porter, said she had no information and could not provide details. Press liaison Superintendent Sharia King later referred this newspaper to CSP Porter's comment. Police Commissioner Shanta Knowles, when contacted about the video, said she would look into the matter but did not get back before press time. How does such a high-profile incident escape the eyes of the Royal Bahamas Police Force? How? I could speculate that it's the way that political interference can work sometimes. There's no direct statement or instruction or order to not document. It's just that it just never gets documented. I could speculate that that's what it is, but like, you know, for months I've been talking about the state of the Royal Bahamas Police Force website and the lack of information on it. For months I've been talking about what appears to be a policy to not report traffic accidents, what appears to be. I've been talking for years about what appears to be a complete and utter devolution in traffic enforcement. But it blows my mind that this particular incident has not been formally documented by the Royal Bahamas Police Force. It just blows my mind. All right, here's another headline, a defining moment for Bahamian agriculture. This is from the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources Facebook page, 24th of April, 2026. Today, the first cartons from the Golden Yoke Project officially hit shelves at Supervalue Top of the Hill, Mackey Street. Tomorrow, that would have been Saturday, at Cable Beach and Golden Gate's locations, a historic milestone in our mission to strengthen national food security and reduce imports. This is more than eggs on shelves. This is execution, collaboration, and progress in motion. They say, thank you, Bahamas, for your patience and continued support. This is only the beginning, the first batch of many to come. So, eggs were on the shelf. Golden Yolk eggs were on the shelf at $3.19 a dozen, roughly around there. But they were sitting on the shelf next to eggs that were priced at $1.99. Yeah? And then they're in a market competing with local egg producers whose cartons are still priced at anywhere from $5 to $9. Yeah? $5 to $9. The current local egg production market, that's where the prices range right now, between $5 and $9. So, I guess you got the eggs on the shelf. Today marks 14 days to the general election. So let's say, you know, you got them on the shelf 3 days ago, 17 days before the general election. But so what? What havoc have you caused? Are you now destabilizing local egg producers who have shored up the market, who ensured that eggs were available through the tumult of global supply chain issues and concerns about bird flu? These local farmers kept eggs on the table. But you set a price on the eggs, they're going to push those producers out of the market. What happens to their investment? Are you working with them to bring their cost of production down? Right? Like, don't just give me golden yolks. I need to see the goose that laid the golden chicken egg. I need to see it. I need to figure out how it's going to work. Anyway, I guess we could say good morning and congratulations to the Golden Yolk Project team. Let's see if it will have the effect that's intended. Let's go to the text line. Aaron, I heard through the love vine that after the general election, the Chicchanis are looking forward to building nice homes for themselves with all of the huge plywood political billboards that are on display everywhere. If you mean by Chicchani, if you mean me, yes, I am looking forward to collecting as much scrap material as possible for my various projects. As soon as the date, I got to find a date for tomorrow. The date in law in which all paraphernalia, political party paraphernalia, must be removed from public spaces and public infrastructure. That day, I's the Chicchani. I collecting it. Don't come collect it. Don't come collect it, man. Let me do my duty. The tarps, what they call them, the A-frame signs, with the corrugated plastic parts, all of them. Teachers. You see them little plastic sign with the little metal thing? You take the sign part of it, you spray paint it. You could even turn them into mini chalkboards with the right paint. You could turn all of them into mini chalkboards with the right paint. But I like living in the pine trees. I know, I get what you're saying. The Chichanis don't have to live in the pine trees and the bushes anymore and now can join the 21st century and live in a house. Can we? Can we? Who could afford a house? Who could afford a house? You know, all this talk about building homes. Who could afford them? Who could afford them? Sometimes it's cheaper and safer to live in the bush. Here we go. It's a oppressing people, man. That's what OPM means, oppressing people, man. Thank you, Texter. Good morning, Ms. Green. There's no need for the OPM to conduct any investigation into the PS wearing PLP paraphernalia. You know why? Because the PM himself is in a political video in the OPM putting on a Safe with Brave hat. So would you say, I'm not quite sure what you're saying. Initially, I thought you were trying to say, why the need for an investigation when there is video, documented video and photographic evidence of said breach of the general order? It's like, why do we need to investigate? But you're saying the PM breaching the law himself by wearing his paraphernalia when he's supposed to be PMing? Oh, boy. Conflicts of interest. It's a text. We use conflicts of interest are unavoidable to promote illegality and unethical patronage. Out of 200,000 adults, 5,000 of which who might be requesting Crown land. Oh, wow. Okay, Texter. I'm going to take this call. And then after the call, I want to ask some questions about a video I saw this weekend. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, quick question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who went in the battle of billboards on JFK?
I have not been on JFK. I scared because there's no lights.
You only go on JFK?
I try to avoid it because for a number of reasons. The roads, I'm not sure if the engineers have taken into account the impact of the increased development on the ridge and the increase, I think, in water coming off of the ridge onto the highway. I think we need to have an assessment of the condition of the road itself, the infrastructure, along with a project to ensure that all of the lights on that highway are working. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. For how long the lights on that highway have been off.
Well, you need to take a trip, though, because if you read the signs, they're very entertaining.
Oh, wow.
Read Bahamas. That's all I can say. Read Bahamas. They can teach you how to read.
Okay. Thank you. You know, we're going to talk about this challenge that Dwayne Sands made over the weekend, because I wonder if these governments could move at the pace of their own policies. But also, another question, what would the country look like if the PLP governed the same way the PLP politicked? But let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
A pleasant good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, sir. How you do?
Hope you had a nice, safe weekend, but you had a safe weekend because you had a day.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Green, following on what you're saying, they told us that they want us to farm the land and grow our own stuff so we could slow down on importing stuff. Mm-hmm. I know of 5 farmers that received 2 acres of land each off of Gladstone Road from the previous government that started their farms, I included. I had 2 acres, invested over $25,800 into my farm, plus there's a 40-foot container still sitting on the farm. We got word the other day that there was a tractor down there mowing down all the plants that we already planted and were on their way up. 4 to 5 farmers lost all their 2 acres of property, and we were not even informed. I still have my contract right on my bedroom table as we speak.
Wow.
We went.
So, Sparky, let me ask you some questions. Go on, and then I got to ask you some questions.
We went to agriculture, we asked them what happened. They said they were instructed to give the land to somebody else.
But did you ask them whether they issued a notice of, like, removal of occupancy?
They didn't tell us nothing, so the lady just said they were instructed to do that thing, but who did you give it to? They said they are not at us.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went to the new Minister of Agriculture and Fisheries, Mr. Jobo Campbell. On nomination day, he was playing domino. They say, Jobo, I'm a valley boy, you're a valley boy. Why you take and give it to somebody else? He said, Sparky, it ain't me. Call the Prime Minister. I said, but I can't call the Prime Minister, because the Prime Minister was just in my yard the other day picking up juice.
Well, that's what now you get. That's what you get, Sparky. That's what you get. Play with... I mean, maybe you calculated wrong. Maybe you calculated wrong. However, the matter that you raised, Sparky, I think is an important matter, right? Because if you had been legally granted privilege to occupy Crown land, right, for the purpose of an agricultural project, at the very least, even if the government has the right to rescind, right, even if they have the right to rescind occupancy at any moment, surely that includes a notice, like the process will include a procedure for giving notice of rescinding or removal of occupancy privileges from the Crown land. Now, I can't verify the story that Sparky said told us just now on air, right? But he say the two of them is valley. They know each other. Why would the minister lie to him? I don't know, but I am not a member of the valley. I don't know how they operate. All right. Ooh. I'm going to look up that story. Texter, thank you for that. Let's go to the text line. Good day, Wild. Understatement of the morning. Aaron. Good morning, Aaron. It's almost 5 years since the FNM loss. Is it that beaches and parks from the previous government on the news, this don't make no sense? Oh, is it on the news or is it on social media? In the paper? Oh, wow. Okay. You know, the beaches and parks story? I think that's I was working on a Bamsey fire write-up. Did y'all know we've had 3 fires at various Bamsey entities over the last several years? Not just in the PLP term either, like across administrations. We've had 3 fires. Anyway, while I was looking at that, I found a quote where the Prime Minister called it a teachable moment. The first fire, the dormitory fire, and the issue about uncertainty about insurance coverage and all of that, right? He said it was a teachable moment. I don't know if we've learned anything, people. I don't know if we've learned anything, except for one thing. If both the PLP and the FNM are behaving the same way about the ministry, then maybe it's a matter of political culture and not any specific political party's behavior. Okay, so I saw this video online. A couple of people sent it to me, and I would not have paid attention to it except that the candidate in the video and the allegation being made, right, asserted, like, so here's what I'm saying. Somebody sent me a video. It seems to be a PLP event. The individual speaking has been identified as Monique Pratt, one of the PLP candidates in Grand Bahama. There's a very serious allegation being attached to the video that I could not verify, not just by watching the video. It's only a small clip. I don't understand why y'all do that. Like, you guys, you know the meme where the guy's on the bike and he falls, and then it turns out he put the spoke in his own wheel that caused him to fall? Yeah, like that. Like that. See, because the allegations that are being laid on the table are very serious. Like, so serious, I'm not sure if I should mention them yet. But there's another video captured by all the media with the same candidate at an event saying, the PM, give me the papers to give to you. Not to the Brownland papers. Right? Could we have some clarity on that matter, please? Could we? Could we have some clarity? I think it's important enough for the PLP communications team to tell us what we were seeing in that video at what appeared to be a PLP event. In the alternate, we could have a statement from the OPM, the Office of the Prime Minister, the government office. We could have a statement from them clarifying the process for the issuance of Crown land approvals, papers, documents. That's what we could have. Just provide some clarity. I would hate to think that a number of government operatives are unavailable because they're busy doing party work. We have an expectation of clarity, and we demand clarity. The Constitution demands clarity for one of the largest national processes in the country. And what you, the politicians, say is the most important. Right? The OPM. And see, you know what? Here's what the problem is. It just came to me. Where is BIS? Where is Bahamas Information Services? Where is the mechanism that's supposed to be used to disseminate information from the government? Where is BIS? We could clear this whole thing up. Where is BIS? Why is the Director of Communications from OPM speaking all the time? Even when we can see that this may create a conflict of interest. This is a perfect time for BIS to step in and the Director of Communications to take on wholly his role as Director of Communications or in the communications team for the PLP political party. He could step away from the OPM and let BIS take it from here. Ms. Green, we don't need international poll watchers. They only make recommendations on irregularities they find or see. What we need is this general election to be stopped from all these fraudulent passports and voters' cards. Okay. So I think we've seen enough stories in the paper to understand that we have an issue. We have an issue with unauthorized, like people who should not have legitimate documents with legitimate documents, right? But I found two stories this weekend. I just wanted to read quickly. Both are from Eyewitness News, and they were just very interesting. The first one is from Sunday, the 26th of April. Its title is Fraud. You can find it on their Facebook page. On Saturday, April 25th, police in Bimini arrested three Haitian nationals at South Bimini International Airport after they were found in possession of fraudulent national insurance cards. Right? Bahamas Immigration Department, along with staff at the airport, identified the fraudulent documents and National Insurance Board staff were able to confirm that the documents were fraudulent. Here's another article, passport fraud, 25th. So this is from Saturday, Eyewitness News. On Friday, April 24th, police officers stationed at Lyndon Pindling International Airport in collaboration with Bahamas Immigration Department and acting on intelligence arrested and cautioned a 26-year-old male for possession of a fraudulent United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland passport. Right, according to preliminary reports, the suspect arrived in the Bahamas from Jamaica and presented a UK passport to immigration officials for entry. Further checks revealed that the passport had been reported stolen in the UK. I wanted to read these two articles to sort of underline that attempts at fraud happen all the time, everywhere. That's why the procedures to travel get thicker and tighter, you know, regularly. But the question is, are your systems strong enough to catch them? Right? I think the number of stories we've seen in the media will suggest that efforts are being made and systems are in place to detect said fraud. Can we get better? Of course we could get better. Absolutely we could get better. But the fact that people are being arrested, documents are being identified I don't even want to say it's a great start because that's not it. It's something that happens continuously and has been happening continuously. Should we be concerned? Yes. I am more concerned about the lack of clarity in the communications from our government. I got a text that came in. It says, "Don't insult Bahamians." Oh, that's the name of the article. Okay, thank you for sharing that article. They did share an article about the Beaches and Parks investigation. Good morning. Don't understand what's all the hullabaloo about Beaches and Parks contracts. Successive administrations have been practicing trickle-down economics. Okay, here's what the problem is, right? You have the government. So the government is, right, the administration that's governing, and the opposition, right? And then there are the people. This is three parts of government. The governing admin, the opposition, and the people. When you say, like, what's the big deal? Successive administrations have been practicing trickle-down economics. Well, it may not be a big deal to the admin and to the opposition, but what if it's a big deal to the people? Are you suggesting, and I'm just asking, are you suggesting that because both parties are okay with it or they continue to do it, that we should just accept it? Is that what's happening? Because I could get on board, you know. I could get on board. I could use my privilege to position myself advantageously in this space to take advantage of whatever foolishness they do in the agency. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Hi. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You know, I wanted to ask, seeing that you mentioned in Beaches and Parks, mm-hmm. who is responsible for the upkeep of the cemeteries? Is it also Beaches and Parks?
Ooh. I'm not sure. Continue.
Because I traversed the Cowpen Road area yesterday. And at the government cemetery of the Spikenard, can hardly see anything for the bushes. That entire property is overgrown.
Mm-hmm.
As much as it's being used, it's really overgrown. And it really looks bad. So I said I was supposed to call today and find out who is actually responsible for the upkeep of the cemetery. Is it the same person?
Okay, so
because if it is, they really need to do better. And like the press secretary said, they're going to give us the same excuse that the FNM government give us, mm-hmm. the past FNM government give us for the use of the money. However, it still is not detailing what exactly is it that they actually do. They didn't tell you they use the same excuse, but they're not telling you whether they did the same thing or they did something different.
Mm-hmm.
So they take more money than the others. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading between the lines. You telling me, okay, I give you the same excuse they give you. Okay, So tell me now exactly what it is that you actually did. Mm-hmm. Leave the excuses out this time.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So I did a little quick Google search, and it says Ministry of Works is responsible for maintaining cemeteries, right? And so I said, well, does beaches and parks come under the Ministry of Works portfolio? And the Google, the AI is telling me the Bahamas Public Parks and Beaches Authority is the primary body responsible for the maintenance and management of public spaces. Although it works closely with the Ministry of Public Works, the authority created in 2014 handles upkeep previously managed by the Ministry of Works, which still maintains a role in certain infrastructure. And that may be where the problem lies. There may be a lack of clarity within both agencies about who is responsible for cemeteries, right? Maintenance, security. I guess the next question, do we desperately need an overhaul or reform of the legislation governing the operation of cemeteries and protections for clients, even posthumously? Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, we do.
I hear you.
Aaron, no, before you cut me.
No, man, go on.
Let's suppose that I have a legitimate passport.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the legitimate passport through using fraudulent documents.
Mm-hmm.
Inside this legitimate passport, I have visas. I have U.S. visa. I got Ethiopian visas. I got a bunch of visas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, let's suppose now during this election process, it is discovered that I got this passport illegitimately.
Mm-hmm.
Would that visa in the passport, I know the answer to the question, but I just want to throw it out there. Would that visas or those visas in the passport, would they be upheld?
No.
Would they be legitimate?
No.
No. Okay. So would it be a smart thing if I know that I got a passport illegitimately and now I'm able to go and vote for the party of my choice? Would it be a smart thing for me to do, knowing that I might be risking being exposed to the U.S. or to the Ethiopians, the fact that I got this illegitimate visa?
It wouldn't be a smart thing to do. And I'm thinking that people are getting fraudulent documents, they're not getting them to vote. And they would not risk being exposed by going to vote. I don't think that the majority or any migrants are motivated to get these documents to participate in the political process, because that heightens the risk of exposure.
Yeah, but that's also assuming a level of intelligence.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm just saying, would it be for the opposition to clearly state that if you got one of them and we can discover all of yours?
Yeah, I think...
To use that as a frightening experience for those, because I'm pretty sure that there may be some out there.
As a deterrent.
Why aren't they speaking like this? Why aren't the opposition speaking like this?
I'm not sure. I could be honest with you. I'm not sure how or why any of the parties politic the way that they do.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm often stunned by the things that they think make sense.
I have more questions, but I appreciate listening to you. Thanks so much.
But, you know, but then, of course, some of us see plantation and some of us see palm trees. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, I want to make a comment as relates to the particular those narratives just now. But I have a little joke. They're getting ready to slaughter me by the Long Island Ferry.
Hey, you...
Chester didn't read the humorous text because I'm a sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in too deep.
Mm-hmm.
But I made a peep, right? And so, for me, as it relates to something you responded to last week and what the gentleman commented on. So, we were talking about Cialdo would have mentioned, and obviously the chronology of a document being obtained fraudulently. The person came and they exist, they have children, et cetera, they pass it on. So, that's a lineage of fraudulency that has created citizenship, right?
Okay.
And then, as it relates to what Mr. Lincoln Bain was saying, and you made a comment on it, and this is my comment. Now, I don't know, you said the people not being able to speak English, they're presenting themselves with a voter's card, passport, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it wouldn't be a problem, because then you forget to mention the accent in which I can always tell I don't know, you travel the world somewhat, so you can tell accent.
Mm-hmm.
So if a person cannot speak English properly And then the Constitution states that they should be here for at least 10 years before residency, et cetera, et cetera. So what I'm saying is I would juxtapose that with their inability to speak English, even if it's broken, but I can tell from their accent where they're from. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that would have been mentioned. So it's not the fact that somebody can't speak English. It would also be the fact of their accent and their lineage, and we wouldn't know where that comes from.
Mm-hmm.
But even as we speak about this migrant crisis, right, we all are black people from one diaspora. Some ships stopped in Haiti, stopped in Jamaica, etc., whatever, right? And so I'm trying to find out why the subjugation. I supposed to send you some stuff. Could you ask? Nobody's asking this particular community to stop these little jeering and wagging the dog, as they would say, whatever. But it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would agree with you that some of them might be getting the passports, et cetera, or the documents to do fraudulent activity. But the fact that they have passed on this lineage creates a problem. I know of a situation. And so it is said that there's a number of Asian Bahamians with descent from Haiti that lives in Freeport. And so I've noticed that a lot of my friends are saying they got their documents from Freeport.
Okay, 52. I hear what you're saying, but let me ask you a question, right? In 2003, the College of the Bahamas, they were a college at the time, held a symposium. It's like the 50th anniversary symposium, right? There was a lecture that I'll never forget, an economic historian. He basically took us over. 2003 is 23 years ago, right? He took us back 50 years from 2003, right? And basically showed us the economic and social and cultural dynamics of the relationship between the Bahamas and Haiti, right?
Yes,
and so
it's obvious.
70 plus years ago, there were as many Bahamians in Haiti as there were Haitians in the Bahamas, right? So
I don't want to make a comment on something different, but it's still an imposition.
Listen, I got to go to the break. Do me a favor, call me back after the break, right? But for Papa Doc and Baby Doc, but for global external political interference, right? Would we be having this conversation in the same terms? Because to tell me that I'm of Haitian descent and you concerned about how I became a Bahamian... What if I became a Bahamian before you became a Bahamian? What if I became a Bahamian before the regional political discourse made us enemies? We're going to a break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Join Team Progress this Monday, April 27th. Come out to our Central East Rally at the entrance of the old Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium at 8 p.m. Join a party with a plan. Hear from our leader, Philip Brave Davis, Deputy Leader Chester Cooper, and the PLP team as we go for two straight. Bring your family, bring your friends. Choose Progress. Monday, April 27th, at the entrance of the old Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, 8 p.m.
So on election day, choose
Progress. Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity. We're good for you.
The following is a paid political message.
Out of Kalani.
That was a paid political message.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Under the FNM, shantytowns grew. The PLP is demolishing them. The FNM made it easier to get a passport. The PLP fixed their mess and is cracking down on fraud. The FNM let investment in the Defense Force slow to a crawl. The PLP added hundreds of officers and new interceptors. Under the FNM, migrants flooded into the Bahamas. The PLP repatriated record numbers. The FNM offers talk. The PLP offers a real record. Paid for by the PLP.
This is Hobie Davis. When one power line faulted, the whole neighborhood used to go dark. Now, a breakthrough in technology finds the problem and reroutes power so more homes stay connected. That's reduced outages by 86%. Upgrades like this mean lower operating costs and lower bills. Instead of temporary fixes, we're building a modern grid. Choose more reliable power. Choose Progress.
Paid for by the PLP.
We came to celebrate IT.
Celebrate IT.
Send 3 money transfers for a chance to win indeed.
Celebrate IT.
Life is good, so we say la vie.
Avant.
No la parfait, Monty Garcon.
Celebrate IT
with GK Money Services.
Send 3
with GK Money and Western Union
for a chance to win.
To send free
for the rest of the year.
3 lucky customers will win.
Follow us at GKMSBAH
for more details.
Promotion ends May 18th.
Western Union.
5 years of PLP rule. Are you better off today? While you work, they've spent millions on taxpayer-funded trips, a government-funded luxury car, and handed out hundreds of millions in no-bid contracts. But for the rest of us, gas and groceries through the roof, VAT on bread basket items, healthcare that is broken, unaffordable, and out of reach. And it's not just your wallet. For 5 years, illegal immigrants have flooded our communities, putting excessive pressure on our schools, our housing, and our social services. As they flood in, Bahamian families fall behind. Under the FNM, there will be a change. The FNM has a plan to address the rising cost of living, secure our borders, protect Bahamians from illegal immigrants, and fix our health care. Because the FNM knows our job is to work for you and not the few. This message was paid for and authorized by the Free National
Movement. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. So I think tomorrow we're going to hit the Dwayne Sands conversation, maybe finish by tomorrow, you know, because I did a little math and computation to determine on which days the Parliamentary Registration Department would be in breach for not having accessible the public register. One calculation for the advance poll and one calculation for the general election. My calculation left me with the 22nd being the last date to publish the register, 22nd of April, the register for the advance poll, and the 27th of April being the last date to publish the register for the general election. We see in today's Tribune, PRD says voter register will be published today. I wanted to take us back quickly. Caller, I can't get you. I only have a few moments. I wanted to take us back to this headline. PM calls Pintard's request for observers inappropriate. Mr. Davis said over the weekend that international observation of Bahamian elections is routine and governed by law, with the parliamentary commissioner responsible for initiating invitations. Well, I read part of an article about the Bahamas Constitution Party's challenge, the general election, where they did not nominate as protest, but also they raised concerns after communicating with several agencies that normally participate as international observers. They raised concerns that the entities that they engaged said they had not received an invitation as of yet. So then we learned that Michael Pintard, leader of the opposition, had communicated with the United States State Department and OAS and a number of entities requesting their presence. And we have the prime minister saying, calling the move, quote, quite inappropriate, close quotes, and outside the country's established process. Well, I tell you what, I can appreciate that greatly. But could we, let's look at it like without jaundiced eyes. Maybe Michael Pintard was attempting to assist the Parliamentary Registration Department and the government of the Bahamas because they both have something in common, not just that PRD is a part of the government, but they both have the same problem, not able to move at the pace of their own policies. We see the Minister of Sports snubbed the winningest sports team in the history of the Bahamas to go to a manifesto launch, and the launch was not available. I mean, the manifesto was not available at the launch. Is it reasonable to say, because I'm not a lawyer, there's the law and then there's convention, like how they practice it, and that becomes like code as well. But is it sufficient that the register is not available for the advance poll? Could we just say that that's where the breach lies? Should it have been available on the 22nd? Was it available? Because Dr. Sands references the advance poll in his voice, in his video. Like maybe Pintard was doing all of us a favor, understanding that it seems we are unable to move at the pace of our own policies. Like you set the time for the party and you late. I wanted to just get that off my chest quickly, producer. Bear with me. Here's the article I wanted to start the show with, but I say I can't put my own feelings first. IACHR raises concerns on immigration and poor implementation of disability law. This was published in The Guardian on Friday. I'm going to focus on the disability portion. It said the country was still challenged on the rights of people with disabilities, immigration, marital rape, and the rights of women. Quote, on the rights of persons with disabilities, it is highlighted that the National Commission for Persons with Disabilities received a significant budget increase to expand programs such as life skills training, independent living initiatives, and free accessible transportation, close quotes, the report said. Did y'all put the $25,000 back to the Commission for Persons with Disabilities that y'all took to hold a second memorial for Obi Wilchcombe at Bahama? Y'all put that back? Did anybody tell the IACHR about that? I can't believe y'all didn't tell them about that. Y'all told them about that, right? I say, okay, maybe it's just a yearly report. Maybe it's just an annual report. Maybe they reported on that before. But I mean, I just asking, maybe you couldn't put it back the year you took it. But did you put it back in 2025? It is clear that many businesses are not in compliance with that provision. And the types of businesses are businesses that could afford to be in compliance with anything. Yet they choose not to. East Hill Street is filled with them. Imagine you right next door to the Governor General's house, the government house, and you have such disregard for the law. But you know what? You're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. We're going to work this out. But we got to focus and ask yourself, can you see the plantation through the palm trees? Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.